meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Carolla. Loveline, coast to coast.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Still in San Francisco, eh, Drew?
Still here at Live 105.
Fantastic. You sound a little weird to me.
Really?
Yep. How do I sound to you?
No weirder than usual.
Oh, I knew you couldn't resist that little opening to get one of your world-famous digs in, Drew. How's the weather over there?
Beautiful. How's it down there?
Fantastic.
I mean, really beautiful up here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was gonna rain for the last few days, except for, you know what?
No clouds.
No rain. Yeah. Yeah, those weathermen, boy, they are right on. Right on.
Now you actually do sound weird to me. Are you tired or something?
Yeah, I could be a little tired.
Yeah.
That's all right.
A little loaded, too?
How dare you? How dare you? No, I'm not loaded.
Oh, shocking.
I realized after I said I'm not loaded, maybe the inflection wasn't quite right. Like, surprise, I'm
yeah,
not
like,
loaded.
Whoa, no, it's different.
Yeah, it was defense meets surprise. No, I'm not loaded. No, I'm not loaded, Drew. No, I'm sober as can be.
You seem to be a little bit excited about the Paget last night, too.
Yeah, she was cute.
Yeah,
you should have seen her. You know, she reminded me of my ex-stripper girlfriend, Lindsay.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, or as she was known at the club, Catlin. Uh-huh. Yeah, very cute, very striking young lady, and plenty of personality. But I went home with John Cryer, who's really the nicest celebrity in the world.
Yeah.
He is really just the nicest, sweetest guy in the world. All right, I should go over there and break bread with him. John?
29.
John, who is 29, John?
Hey.
Yes, what's up?
How you guys doing? I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just got a question, I guess. I've been going out with this girl for a little over 2 years now, and everything's great. We've got a great relationship, great sex life. I'm just, I need some advice, and probably, Adam, you can help me out, because I think you might have run into this situation a couple times yourself. I'm trying to figure out how I can get her to swallow.
Uh-huh.
Did you ask her?
Yeah.
I've asked her a few times. So actually,
she'll do me
in the shower.
But
not all the way, you know?
Right.
Yeah. What the hell difference to make? You know what I'm saying, John? I mean, come on. You've got a great relationship. You've got to get your priorities in check. I saw this question. I thought to myself, oh, my God, there's servicemen dying in Yemen today, and this guy's worrying about this.
No, I'm not too worried. I mean, I think it would add to the spice of the sex life, though. And I think it really kind of stems from a previous girlfriend that I had who, didn't have no objections to that. And I enjoyed it quite a bit.
By the way, it's she didn't make no objections to that. It's not she didn't have no objections to that. But, hey, John, where does your semen go with this girl?
So, actually, like, if we're in the shower, it goes down the drain. But if we're in bed, then I end up, actually, it just doesn't go that far, and then we carry
maybe he had a lay off
the other end, right?
Yeah. Hey, what do you want, ether or Quaaludes?
Right now?
Yeah, or in general. Listen here, goofball.
Yeah, I'm pretty straight.
Here's what a retard. Here's what I'm saying. I can't. Here's a question I got to get from John. I've made this speech a number of times. I'm going to make it again. What we want, ladies, is not to be interrupted in the middle of the flow. So for about 5 seconds, you just got to kind of hang with us. And, John, does she hang with you or does she interrupt in the middle of your flow?
She doesn't hang.
Does she understand what that
means? Shut up.
What?
Well, because how come all of our callers, if I say does she interrupt or does she hang with the flow, she doesn't interrupt,
mm-hmm,
or she doesn't hang.
Yeah.
How come you can't just give me the A or B that I gave you? Because then I have to process what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
It's you that said it.
All right. What do you mean it's me that said it?
Oh, that's what I mean. Oh, my God.
What do you mean it's me that said it?
I mean that...
Here's what I want to say.
You're the man now. You're literally a millionaire. You understand?
Okay.
So you're the man. So you say something, it's got to be objectionable.
Hey, here's what I want out of our callers. If I say, are your parents together or are they divorced? I want you to say they're together or they're divorced. Not they're not divorced. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
It gets confusing. You ever go out to eat with these people?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's always some confusion when they're ordering. It's like your wife. Lisa?
Hi.
You're 24.
Right.
What's up?
My question basically was like for either one of you guys. I have a boyfriend, and I have a best friend that like doesn't get along with him.
A best friend?
But just recently, my best friend and my boyfriend went out to a concert, and you know, he left whatever, and my girlfriend and I, we went out to the bar, drank whatever, and then, like, we started going at it.
You and she.
Right.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know I guess I know why it happened, because maybe I wanted it to happen, but it's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, because she's giving mixed messages about the whole thing. And it's like, she wants to, but she doesn't, because, you know, she's got her own problems where, you know, with the married man.
Ooh.
And,
okay, so are you saying you like your best friend?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
But do you like her?
Huh?
Oh, would you shut up, True? I just said that.
But I mean, she's answered as though to say, oh, yeah, it's my best friend, I like her.
No, I think she means she's attracted to her best friend.
Well, yeah, a little bit, but... Well, if I wasn't, I would have never done anything, you know.
Okay, so maybe you have feelings for her, and maybe you'd rather be with her than your boyfriend?
No, I don't want to do that either, you know.
Why?
Because it's like, I mean, I totally love him.
You love him?
Right.
So much that you cheat on him.
Oh, see, I knew that was going to happen. But...
Well, no, your actions just don't. Yeah, your actions just speak differently. You know, they say something different about what you're feeling.
Right.
All right.
And we believe that actions speak louder, more clearly, more honestly.
Right. So what do you want from us?
I just, like, want to know, like, what should I do? Should I tell him? Or should I just, like, not tell him and just, like, leave the whole situation with my best friend and just, you know, be good friends with her? Well, I know it's not going to be good friends.
Well, what are you going to tell him?
I don't know.
Well, what are you going to get out of telling him?
Nothing, really.
I know. You want to be with the guy. You love the guy.
Right.
So why are you going to tell him and jeopardize the relationship unless you want it to be jeopardized secretly?
No, I don't. Well,
then why would you even consider telling him?
I'm not. I really don't want to consider telling him anything.
Okay, then don't.
But then it's like, why is she going to be like the way she is? I mean, it's like she's saying like, oh, yeah, you know, I like you a lot. But then it's like, no, stop. You know, like, I'm such a bad person
for
doing.
Okay, hey, Lisa.
Wait, whoa, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
You don't work around kids, do you?
No. Well, right. Actually,
you
that's
do?
A funny story.
No, not funny.
No.
Nothing
no,
funny
I, no,
about
I don't,
it.
I don't work with kids right now, no.
Funny ha-ha or funny Hitler, being Hitler being a vegetarian funny?
That would be funny.
All right. Hey, baby.
Yeah?
You're kind of confused.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And you don't claim to be a lesbian, yet you don't seem to know what to do with your friend who's attracted to you physically.
You don't like your boyfriend. You don't love your boyfriend, or at least you can't tolerate being in love with him. You got to sabotage that.
Totally in love with him.
Yeah, but you can't tolerate it. You got to sabotage that.
All right. Well, hold on.
As soon as he finds out about... Yeah. Listen, what's going to happen as soon as he finds out about this lesbian?
Well, it's going to be one of two things, but they're all going to end... They're going to end up at the same place. Either he's going to dump her immediately, or he's going to insist on a threesome and then dump her.
No.
She either goes to sort of, oh, this is just a fling, or she's out completely, one or the other.
Right.
And that's where you want to be. Why do you want to be there with this relationship?
With him or her?
With him. Oh,
well,
forget
because,
it.
I mean, it's a good relationship. I mean, everything's great, you know.
Okay. Well, it's built on a foundation of love and respect.
Yes.
I can see that.
Salt.
Listen, here's the deal. If you're truly, I mean, everyone just close your eyes. Picture there's somebody in your life who you're madly in love with and who you wouldn't want to lose under any circumstance, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you do? Do you tell them that you've been lezzing off with your buddy who hates them?
Or are you conflicted about it? Well, should I go with this other person? Shall I explore this relationship?
Yeah, why would you be conflicted if you're madly in love with this person? You have a great relationship.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't know why people... Why do people get so defensive about their relationships? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because...
Or what's
have
in
to,
it for them?
They'd have to address what's really going on.
But how about just saying... How about just saying, you know what? I love this guy, but I do have some feelings for this girl, and I don't know if I'm totally in love with this guy. I mean, just at least make it believable so we can have a goddamn conversation about it. You're telling us out of one side of the mouth you're in love with this guy, and the other side is you're dyking off.
It's because if I'm in a love relationship, this is the way it has to be maintained. In chaos or at a distance, that's love for me. The way it is now is uncomfortable, so I have to push it back a little bit. All of course, right. I'm in love with him. You understand that to them is matter of fact, as opposed to like you're saying, which is, why the hell would I behave like this, or why would I treat somebody I love like this?
Drew, you talking about yourself?
No.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Yes?
You're 29.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Question for Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
I am a recent PPD convert.
Mm-mm. So you're on INH?
Yes.
Beautiful. Do you work in hospitals around children or something?
No, I do relief work.
Okay.
And
so how many months are they going to put you on it?
Well, they don't know. A minimum of 6, and they said most likely up to 2 years.
So this is a TB medication,
yeah,
Adam.
Lucky me.
PPD is a TB.
No, PPD is a TB test, and if you convert, meaning your PPD little skin test is greater than 10 millimeters across, then you've had primary TB, and you have to take 6 months of an antibiotic. A kind of nasty antibiotic too.
How do you get tuberculosis?
Usually, you inhale it. You inhale people that are coughing it, and they're forming or droplet formers sufficient to aerosolize the little tubercles.
Is that what comes out of my ass on occasion?
If you're
aerosol, yeah.
Hey, what's
that? Your penis too.
Well, thank you. You would know. Now, what? Why is tuberculosis one word?
Yes.
Yes.
And why would they make it into two initials? Why not just call it T? That's all I'm saying. I can't figure out all this OBGYN and this TB, and it doesn't make any sense.
It may have started from tubercle bacilli, which is the organism that it's
called. Ah, so it's not, the T isn't for tuberculosis, it's for tubercle bacilli. Right, beautiful.
So, what's the question, Elizabeth?
Anyway, I've noticed taking it, they also have me on B6.
Yes.
Since taking it, I have had a dramatic change in my body odor. I never used to have much. I mean, only like if I didn't shower for a week kind of thing.
Are you taking just the pyridoxine by itself, or are you taking it in a B complex with it?
Just like B6 straight.
Are you talking about, where's this odor coming out?
Under my arm.
From the basement? Oh, up top?
No, I wish the basement.
You do?
Huh.
Yeah, I could lock the door then.
Nice, yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to have to be on this stuff for almost 2 years, it's like, hi, I stink.
Yeah, you know what? When women stink, it's super funky.
Apparently
it's weird.
The people around me don't notice it, and I know they wouldn't lie because they wouldn't miss an opportunity to make fun of me like that.
Is it a medicine-y smell?
No, it's
a BO smell.
Really bad.
Yeah.
BO. That's interesting. I've not encountered that.
Apparently neither has any of the doctors I'm
seeing.
You're putting some deodorant on?
You know, I have put on basically the napalm equivalent to deodorant, and it still doesn't help.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little something about...
coming out of the shower.
Let's tell you something about myself, Elizabeth. I'm a 110% guy who demands a lot out of life, and I also demand a lot out of my deodorant.
Great. What kind do you use?
It doesn't matter. Every time I see one of those goddamn commercials, I think to myself, when's the last time I really demanded something out of my deodorant?
Well,
and maybe I should.
Take this medicine.
And then I like when they do this. I like when they ask you to take the challenge. You send us your old deodorant. Use ours for 45 days. If you don't agree, it's like, oh, hold on, let me grab a scratch pad. See if I can take my deodorant, I'll put it in a manila envelope, and I'll send it off to Battle Creek, Michigan. And then you guys send me your stuff, and there you go. I wonder if anyone ever takes them up on that stuff. All right. Yeah, put some deodorant on, take a shower. And don't wear polyester. You know, I've realized this is why certain ethnicities, or I should say, what do I want to say here, Drew? You know how, you know, there's certain cultures smell a little more than other cultures?
Right.
Yeah.
Certain people.
Yeah, certain peoples. Not people, peoples. Yeah. You know what it is? It's a lot of these dudes wear polyester. A lot. And polyester. You put on go down to a thrift shop, get yourself a nice polyester, circa 1978 shirt, wear it around for a day, and then sniff your pits. See how you're doing.
Speaking of trashing demographics, why is the Man Show on Wednesday now also?
Is it on Wednesday?
Yeah, Susan said she saw it last night and she wanted to commend you on some acupuncture hair growing skit or something.
Oh, thank you.
Familiar?
Yeah, I do remember doing that bit.
She said it was just funny.
Oh, really? Well, God bless her. She's a genius, that woman, and she knows good TV because her two favorite shows are Falcon Crest.
No, Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings.
And the Man Show.
No. What is her second? Elvira, right. The Teenage Witch, or something?
No, it's like probably Will and Grace. Oh, no, it's Sex in the Cities.
Sex in the City. Oh, well, I like that show, too. But what is the other? What is the other show she liked a lot? Oh, about the Femme Nikita.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, that was her show, too. Oh, yes. She's weaved that Femme Nikita chick into more than one fantasy.
What is she doing now? She was up on the show about a year ago, right?
The chick who's in Femme Nikita?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know she's nuts. And that Will and Grace, I don't think is as funny as everyone else thinks is. Or at least shouldn't have got the Emmy. It seems like a sitcom in a sitcom.
Mm.
Too many people, too smart, talking too fast. Too sharp.
But that's what you expect from sitcoms now.
I know, but it's like... I just expect them to look at the... I don't know. All right, whatever. I like the Family Guy.
All right.
Go ahead, Jenny. You're 29.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi. I love your show a lot. I've been listening to it for a long time.
Thank you.
And I'll just get right to my question. I'm a lesbian who's been in a 10-year relationship, and I really want to break it off. And
why?
I want to see men.
You want to see men?
Yes. And yeah. I don't know how to tell my partner that I'm not in love with her anymore.
Well, here's what you do. She's a full-blown lesbian. She's she's a butch one.
No, not
she's,
at all.
She's not.
Not at all.
I was hoping she'd be butch, because that way you could tell her, I want to see other men. But you have the ultimate out, which is you want to see a different breed, you know what I mean?
Now, wait a minute now, Adam. When we encounter a heterosexual who's thinking about doing a same-sex experimentation, we usually say, is this just to sabotage something? And so I would ask the same question here.
Well,
is this relationship getting too close? Is something too intense about it?
10 years, Drew.
You know, that's interesting, Drew, that you say that, because I've been asking for certain changes in the relationship, and they haven't come, seems like forever, the past few years. And all of a sudden, just recently, she's been trying to work on a few things. It's more that I've been just completely exhausted in trying year after year, and now all of a sudden.
Well, I will tell you that with the pattern. The pattern that I see all the time in my hospital program is the husband or wife pounding on their partner to stop drinking or stop smoking pot. They pound. Then the person comes in for treatment, and then the partner goes, "Well, I've had enough. I'm out." Just at the point at which the individual starts getting well, that's when the codependent goes, I'm out. Is this an addict situation?
No, it's not.
But I mean, are you the person, and I'll give oversimplify it, but you're the kind of person that buys a house, fixes it up, and once you're done and the paint's all dry and everything's done, you start looking for another house because there's nothing left to do here?
No, not really. I do like to get things done and then move on to...
No, I wasn't making an analogy. I actually want to know if you lesbians like to work on a house.
I think it's a little bit different here, because the deal is that now this girlfriend's becoming available in a way that might be too much. And so the convenient out is, I'm attracted to men now.
All right, well, on the other hand, it's been 10 years. You know what I mean?
It's been 10 years. I've put a lot into the relationship over the past few years. I took her I took her to Paris and asked her to make more of a commitment with me, a marriage, to buy a home together. For God's sake, we don't even live together.
Oh.
To share possessions and to have kind of a normal.
Yeah. And maybe you are the chick in the relationship. Are you like the chick? You know what I mean? She's more like the dude.
We both are.
But she doesn't want the commitment. She doesn't want to live. She's more the guy.
Well, kind of, yeah. I guess, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Jenny, it's been 10 years, and you have the ultimate excuse, which is you want to jump ship and, hang with the peni. So,
run with the peni?
Yeah, it really is the ultimate excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Well, next because time you want to get... Well, now, what are you going to say? You're going gay next time? You want to get out of a relationship?
I'm thinking about it.
I know.
Well, here's what I'm saying, Drew. Yeah. When you say to a woman, or a woman says to a man, hey, listen, I just need some time, I need some space, I need some this, I need some that, this isn't right for me. She's basically saying, or he's basically saying, I'm going to be with someone else real soon, if
That's
not
right.
now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a pretty bitter pill to swallow for the other person. But if you're jumping ship, you know, you're moving on to a new gender, how can they argue with it?
How bad can you feel about that?
And how bad can you feel about it? All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, who are we going to talk to, Drew?
Oh, how about Ryan, 18, down there in line 4.
Hi. After sex with a new partner, has puss like...
Puss.
What's the spelling difference between puss and puss?
Same.
Oh, really? Same? All right.
So some words you have to interpret the context.
Well, I take it one word at a time. I'm not like you, Drew, reads far ahead. For me, and I don't even take it one word at a time. It's one letter at a time. Has a p. You can't articulate yourself any better than that. Like secretion on tip of penis. All right, we'll talk to Ryan after this. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Live 105, right, Drew?
Live 105.
Up
in beautiful San Francisco.
Beautiful Bay Area. And phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew.
Huh.
I'm sitting here looking at this Auto Trader magazine.
Yeah.
Just checking out some cars, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my favorite part is when they explain why they have to sell a car.
Uh-huh.
You ever look at those?
Uh-uh.
You know what it is? See, you can't just sell a car because you're tired of it. Yes, it's the guy's always blaming the old lady. Wife forces new child. Wife needs to sell to get minivan. Divorce. Wife. Bitch.
You know what that
bitch
is?
Bitch forces too. It's like.
But you know where that comes from?
Lost erectile difficulty. Wife then gets divorced. Probate. What is that, Drew?
What is one of the most common urban legends you hear in like high school?
You mean
as it pertains to cars?
Which is, here's the urban legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Dude, my friend's brother,
I'm going to tell
cousin.
You. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
There was a divorce.
Yes, yes.
And the wife was so, because
so
the,
pissed.
Yeah, the guy,
so
the guy was a rich guy, and he started started banging his 25-year-old secretary.
That's
so
right.
Pissed. This guy had a 1998 canary yellow Ferrari Testarossa.
Yep. Right.
And you know what he sold that baby for?
$1.
$1.
$1.
Was in the
I swear to God. I'll show you the car. Every young male's heard that story. And so you start,
$1.
Sure you start looking for stories.
$1.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is the one. Here it is.
Yeah. And you know the thing that's funny about this story? An Arab guy owned a car lot, called in, got her down to 50 cents. I tried. Drew, you ever have to deal with that?
Yeah.
See, when you're poor, you cannot get a new car until you sell your old car. and then you have no car. So it's a tough little time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, I grew up, when I was an adult, I never had any credit, and because I worked under the table swinging a hammer most of the time, and I never had any money saved up. So I had a car, I drove a truck, and the truck was probably worth $2,000. And if I wanted a new car, I needed the $2,000 from the truck that I sold in order to buy the new car.
Yeah.
So what happens is you put the thing in the newspaper on a Thursday nights when the recycler comes out, I think Thursday morning, and if you get calls, you'll get calls Wednesday night by guys who have an inside connection at the paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And always the thick accent, and you sell a car. And it's like, yeah, these guys own a dealership. You see, they sell used cars, and they're going to come over there and knock you down. But I've had some of the most, did I tell you the time the guy, I just put a new fender on the car, and the guy came by and he said, "Who put this fender on? He should have his hands cut off." And I didn't want to say me because I didn't want him to cut my hands off, but I got defensive, you know. Why? Looks pretty good. Lord, no, it's horrible work. This is junk. Look at the margins. They all screwed up. He should have his hands cut off. Well, geez, do I have to cut his hands off? Why, did you do this? No, I didn't do it. You know who did it? No, I don't know who did. He should have his hands cut off. Well, seems a little harsh to cut the guy's hands off, doesn't it? I mean, maybe he's not an auto body guy. Maybe he does other things. He should have his hands cut off. So I got into one of the greatest conversations ever with this guy. The guy was the biggest pain in the ass. He kept trying to get me down. I was starting to get angry at him, and I said to him, and this is a great strategy if anyone's ever given you a hard time. He said to me, "What is the lowest you will take for the car?" And I said, "What is the highest you'll pay for the car?" And he said, "No, what is the lowest?" And I said, I'll tell you what, just tell me the most you'll possibly pay for my car. And he said, "I could not pay a penny over $1,500. And I said, "Okay, thanks for coming out." And I started heading back in. And he said, wait, what is the lowest? And I said, it's not your highest. See you later. And he said, no, come back. What do you mean? And I said, your highest is $1,500, right? Is that your highest? Yes, that I could not pay a penny over $1,500. Okay, your highest is not past my lowest. My lowest is higher than your highest, so thanks for coming out. Well, wait a minute, what is it? And I said, I'm not telling you. Why not? Because it is higher than your highest. Well, what is it? Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter if it's $1 more or $1 million more, because my lowest is not lower than your highest. This guy, like, it was like out of a cartoon where, like, steam started coming out of his ears, you know?
Did he leave?
Yeah, he left. I told him to get lost. Ryan?
Yes.
You're 15. What is that?
18.
Oh, 18. I'm sorry.
Well, I recently met this girl at a club.
She should have her hands cut off.
I knew she was a little freaky at first. I had sex with her within a week of that. I noticed one of the times... a weird smell coming from down there. Not like a stank or anything, but it was more of like vinegar.
That's unusual.
That's on her?
I think she just got off a rag.
I see.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like she just cleansed herself.
Oh, you think you're smelling douche?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. The condom broke on me, actually, while we were having sex. And about a week later, I noticed I had like a irritation when I was going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering. I'm hoping it's some kind of bladder infection.
No.
No.
Does that happen?
No.
No. Well, you wouldn't get it, would you?
No. You get an STD.
So
that's what that is.
So Ryan, you got to go get checked out.
That's chlamydia or gonorrhea or non-gonococcal arthritis, something like that.
What kind of symptoms do they have for that?
It hurts when you pee.
Yeah.
Is that what do you have that?
And maybe a little discharge sometimes.
Sometimes.
There you go. That's right, it. You got it.
Is that treatable?
Very. Usually one dose. So they'll give you a shot and a pill, and that'll be it.
Right. I like when these guys diagnose themselves with sort of best case scenario. Yeah, she gave me a bladder infection on my penis. Yeah, as turns out, you know why my balls hurt is because she had a headache. And she transferred her headache to my sack. You see? So I'm just going to put some aspirin up my ass, and I'll be fine, right, Doc?
Why not?
True. It's true. In your 15 years, you ever went, oh, yeah, sure. That's what it is.
I've had fancy answers.
Oh, that's true. Maybe we'll see if we can work one of those up tonight. James?
Yeah.
You're 16?
James is 16.
What's up?
Not much. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys knew what a good antidepressant pill was.
Life, baby.
Like, what is a good
exercise.
One?
It depends on you, your symptoms, your age, your circumstances. I mean, there's a million different reasons that go into making that choice.
What's going on?
Nothing to do with you. Your doctor makes that choice.
Okay. Well, my biological father, he left before I was born and everything. And then my stepdad, after that, he drank a lot and used to hit me all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
And now my new stepdad. Now, I mean, we move like maybe 5 times a year.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I haven't been able to sleep in like 2-3 weeks.
Well, why do you move 5 times a year?
His job varies.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if any time after the age of 10 my parents thought about moving, I would have told them just to keep going. I was already living with my friends 3-4 days a week. I would have just stayed.
Well, actually,
I couldn't imagine.
I had a place to stay in Florida when they were moving, but they had asked the cops if they'd get in trouble for leaving me there, and they said yes, so they had to take me with them.
These are wonderful, wonderful people.
Oh,
and they didn't say they left some kibble out for you in a bowl of water, and the cops still gave them a hard time, huh?
Yeah, my parents let my brother stay in Florida, but they wouldn't let me.
Oh, my God. Well,
how old's your brother?
17.
Yeah. How many brothers do you have?
I have 3 brothers.
That's great. Oh, my God. Imagine the rap sheet these guys are going to put together before their work is over.
None of them live with me. I mean, I'm the only one that lives with my parents.
I know. Your mother's a horrible person. But the good news is somebody was probably pretty bad to her at some point, and that's probably why she's bad to you guys.
My stepdad, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that helps me sleep at night, Drew. All right, so, hey, James, you sound, you know, for all you've been through, it sounds like
okay.
You got, like, a pretty decent constitution, and you got a good head on your shoulders, and you got to get some distance from this.
But it's good that you're thinking about having your depression treated, because with that sort of history, of course you're going to get depressed. You're at high risk for depression, and to get some medication to assist with that is not a bad idea at all.
All right, but go ahead.
Let's get an evaluation.
Okay, right, so where does he go?
A county facility. You don't have insurance or anything like that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, go to if you're in a big town, go to a county mental health services, and they'll help you out.
And here's the deal to all you people who are in James's situation. Your stepdad's an a-hole. Your mom's crazy. Stay out of the house. Just go to school and stay out.
But he can't. What's he going to do with friends? He doesn't stay anyplace long enough to make friends.
Well, you just go to school and you sign up for all those clubs. Drew, weren't you in all those clubs at school?
Yeah.
What were you? Speech and debate?
You name it, I do it. Sports, anything.
Young homos? What else were you in? Future homos? I can't remember what they called it back then. Madrinas Escuderos, the Spanish club. The Magical Singers.
Chess club?
Were you in the chess club?
No.
But you were in the singing, you were in the drama department, right?
Yeah, I did all that stuff, yeah.
You did the sports, right?
Yeah.
Senior class president?
Yeah.
Really? Now, what about before that? What about before class president?
What do you mean?
When you're in your junior year, were you treasurer or something?
I think I did some class. It all kicked in around junior year is when I've found that those kinds of activities the solution to my depression.
And you were trying to sort of pad your records so you could go to college?
That too.
Was that it? Do you need that? Oh, yes. Do you need like a brag sheet?
Oh, yes.
Where they want to see you involved with stuff? It's more than just grades, right?
Absolutely.
Really? No idea. Jessica?
Yeah, hi.
You're 13. What's up, Pumpkin?
Okay, well, I was wondering, do girls' voices like also change like during puberty and stuff?
A little bit. Why do you ask?
Well, because I was at a volleyball game, and I was, like, shouting, like, I got the ball, and my voice just, like, totally cracked.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, ever since, it's, like, not been the same. It's hella deep.
It's hella deep. Honey, honey, let me ask you a question. Do you sound like Brenda Vaccaro?
Do I sound like what?
She doesn't know who that is.
I'm just screwing with her because she said hella deep.
What?
Hella deep was Drew's porn name for a while.
Oh, really?
As a Helen Deep, actually, but shortened it. I don't notice women's voice changing. Although if you talk to a woman and you talk to a girl, they do sound a little different. Although yeah. Not on this show.
And there can be some cracking, but I think more likely you might have sort of irritated your cords, and that's why this kind of chorus and cracking still.
Because it's been like 3 months since that happened.
Okay,
you know,
here
you can get nodes on your cord too. You might want to see an ENT doctor.
She's fine. Are you playing on the team?
Yeah.
Do you wear those tight pants and stuff?
No.
No?
Yeah.
What do you guys wear?
We just wear, like, jeans.
I see. You just wear jeans on the volleyball team?
Yeah.
And what do the girls on the softball team wear? A parka and boots? Or?
We don't have one.
I see. Sorry, baby.
And I was wondering. You know when you play the music at the beginning and like or, like, the end of the show or, like, the beginning? Like, before you guys come back on?
Yeah.
When Anderson plays that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, can you play Nirvana for once?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Starting tonight, baby.
All right, cool.
Just for you. I hate our callers. I really do. You're on the girls' volleyball team? Yeah. What do you wear? Like, what's your uniform? Wear tight uniform? Jeans? Oh, really? Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, because I know denim's pretty big in a lot of athletic.
We all saw that in the Olympics, of course.
Oh, yes. Everybody from the beach to the ones who played it on the hard courts. A lot of denim.
Except for the one wearing down.
Jamie?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yes. Okay, here's the deal. I dated this guy, like, on and off for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all of a sudden, he stopped calling me. And we saw his number, like, it was long distance to call him. We saw his number on the phone bill over and over. And I found out that my sister is dating him.
How old is she?
She's 16.
Ooh.
Yeah. And her friends told me that she's, like, sleeping with him. And he's 24, so.
Boy. Did your parents know?
Yeah, I told my parents about it. And
good.
You know, they talk to her about it, and she, like, throws these screaming, crying fits and says she's in love with him and whatever, you know? And so, I mean, I don't know what to do at this point because it's like they want to trust her, and they let her go do stuff still with her friends, but she's sneaking off to see him, you know?
Okay, let me get this straight. You're both living at home.
Yeah.
And you found via the phone records that this number was still being called, and it wasn't you who was calling it.
Yeah.
And he lives where?
He lives about an hour away from us.
So it's not that far that he can't see her. They've been seeing each other, right?
Yeah.
And you've dated him for 2 years, but you weren't boyfriend and girlfriend?
Well, it was kind of on and off, and he was a very strange guy, so I kind of broke things off for a while, and then we ended up, you know, kind of hanging out again.
And he's 24 now?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean strange? What do you do?
Well, like, when we first started dating, he hit me and stuff, and then so I broke things off, and then he was like, "Oh, I changed totally," and you know, it ended up being different.
Sure.
But
so let's see. Both sisters. So oh, there we go. Both sisters are overwhelmingly attracted to the abusive alcoholic.
What does your dad do? Some form of origami or something for a living? What would he do? Or might it be working around metal or wood? What does he do? Drive a truck? What's he do?
He's an electrician.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah.
A tradesman.
Tradesman.
But I mean, like...
Who'd he beat on? Did he beat on you guys or
no,
just your mom?
Not at all. Well, he's my stepdad.
Oh, what happened with your biological dad?
No. He's out of the picture.
At what age did he leave?
I guess I was like 5.
And that's when he was beating on mom?
No, he wasn't, but he was like an alcoholic and my mother's very religious and so she divorced him.
Sure there wasn't a little bit of aggression in the home?
I'm not sure. I mean,
why don't you check that history out with mom? I bet that's there.
But, I mean, I don't know what to do about my sister thing.
Okay.
I'm wondering about it. It's just, like, horrible.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's a good question. This guy's 24. He's a criminal.
Yeah.
And, by the way, he was nailing you when you were underage, too, right?
Yep. Well, no, actually, I was 17, so.
That's underage.
Oh, well, in Texas, it's... legal, I guess, now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. What, 16?
17? Huh?
17.
17's legal.
Okay. So what if you talked to him? You think you could do that?
I did, and it was like he said, oh, well, we're just friends and we talk on the phone, blah, 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 you know? I mean, just a bunch of bullcrap lines.
Well, listen, to me, he's even worse if he's just chatting away with a 16-year-old.
Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, even if he's telling the truth, he's it's even more severe. Why don't you tell him you know exactly what's going on, and you're going to call the cops if he doesn't cease to break it off?
That's what you got to do.
Okay.
Well, I mean, my parents have told him that.
But don't actually
do it.
Don't actually call the cops, though, please.
Why?
Oh, because I want them to do the part of life that has to do with crime and not the part what has to do with breaking up bad relationships.
Mm-hmm. So the East Police will come.
You understand? The East Police.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I want to. Can't we deputize those worthless meter maids to do something? What about those to work?
Passing it, they have a little golf carts that are enclosed.
Oh, this is the biggest racket under the sun, these SOBs. They just sit around and they're out in full force all the time. Drives me insane. Let's put say one thing very quickly about these meter maids. You pussies known as meter maids. You guys complain a lot about doing your job and all the crap you get. You don't get enough. Nobody forced you to puss out and take that job. You took the easy way out.
Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe that's
you're
part of the service.
You're weak cowards. What? Weak cowards.
Maybe they have to.
Oh, they have to do what? Have to become a meter maid?
No, as part of the sort of evolution in their career.
Oh, you know they work themselves from meter maid to cop? They're all in their 50s and 600 pounds. Where are they going? They took the easy way out, and they deserve as much crap as they get. And those who are behind the meter maids, basically, okay, that's it. I'm mad. I'm coming back. I'm yelling.
All right.
I'm fired up, Drew.
When you come back.
That's right.
I'm going away.
All right, we'll be back. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there at the Fabulous Live 105 in San Francisco. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
And in fact, Adam, Sean's been helping me out here at Live 105, and he came up to me during the break and went, Adam, in real life, does he go on those rants like that all the time? And I immediately flashed on the various plane rides I've been on with you and how each of them starts, A, with a big drama at the ticket counter.
Yeah.
Like you're some kind of drama queen. You know, get in the seat, and I, of course, want to settle in and read, and you want to talk. And if I don't have, like, eye contact with you, or at least full attention, I get an extra 20 minutes of tongue-lashing and diatribe about God knows what. So now I'm paying attention. And I told him, I said, look, it's going on. It's usually about the seat belts, the destroying and tampering with the smoke detector. It's the something that happened at the ticket booth. It's something wrong with how the ticket's printed.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So 20 minutes, and all of a sudden I realized it stopped. You're ranting for about 20 minutes, and it suddenly stops. And I look over, and you've got your lovely eye shades on, your tongue's hanging out, you're snoring.
Thank you. That's the only thing that stops my rant. And you want to know, the reality is, in my head I'm ranting now. I'm asleep and having the same conversation. Yes, when I travel with Drew insists on doing Scantron tests.
I read, I do something.
Do you realize, first off, how dare you get something done while I'm getting drunk? Do you realize what a slap in the face it is?
I know you behave.
No, you know what it's like?
A terrible front.
It's
like, funnery, I tell you.
It's like I'm smoking and you're exercising. Do you realize how badly it makes me feel? There's nothing worse than seeing somebody get something done while you're getting drunk and doing nothing.
But listen, you have something important to say.
Yes, I do. Everyone, listen to me. Everyone listen to me. There you go. All right. I don't know, Drew. No one listens. I'm done. I'm the only talk radio show host in the world that frequently gets to comment, could you stop talking so much? Billy D. Williams is telling me I love talking. A program director tells me quit talking so much. It's the most I never thought in a million years I'd be in a position where I was a co-host of a nationally syndicated talk show, and the big beef was too much talking. All right.
You're too much for the show. You're too much man for the show. You got to tone it down.
All right. I'll go on my meter maid jag later then.
Michael is 15.
Michael?
Oh, is he sleeping?
Now I'm killing myself.
Michael? Oh, I hear him.
Yeah, he's sleeping. You see, whenever we travel, let's put him on hold. Drew gets these Scantron forms out and takes his... What do you take? What do you take with
the first year you and I traveled together? I was taking this something called MKSAP, which is a board sort of review. It's updating your medical knowledge and stuff. But then I read and I write lectures. I do a lot of work on planes.
Yes,
and I get to work the moment I sit down.
Do you realize how intrusive that is?
Yeah.
Do you realize how uncomfortable, how inferior I feel when I'm sitting next to someone who's working while I'm working on my fifth Bloody Mary? That is so uncomfortable. It is so disrespectful for you to be working while I'm getting drunk. Drew, you know, as a workaholic, you know, as an overachiever.
Yes, as a workaholic, yes.
Yes, you know that there's nothing more uncomfortable than hanging out while someone is getting something done.
You see what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what if you were trying to convalesce? What if you were trying to chill and I was just running in place doing push-ups or something, or running in place and doing some sort of aerobic exercise and studying at the same time? You'd feel very uncomfortable, wouldn't you?
I might, but I certainly wouldn't ask you to stop and pay attention to me while I talk.
All right. All I want is a little eye contact and an occasional uh-huh.
My favorite part, though, is the transition from rant to snoring.
All right, wise ass. Now we got to take another break.
Yeah, we got another break.
You rambled too long. Now, who are we talking to when we come back?
Let's talk to John.
John with the milky colored semen?
Yeah. Clear setting semen.
Yeah, and I got to complain about meter mates too. All after this. I'm Ace Carolla, and Dr. Drew's keeping the Bay Area warm. Yeah. Did you hear that, Drew?
Does that mean?
I don't know, but that's good radio, man. I snuck it right in between the beat there. Right in there, man. That's
okay,
the
man.
Kind of talk that gets you
nothing.
Nationally, Billboard, national syndicated radio show of the year.
And all the attention and accolade that goes with that.
To the winners go the spoils, Drew. The full-page ads taken out in Variety.
You've been taking calls all day about it, right?
I don't personally field the calls, but my people do. The congratulations, the baskets, the speaking engagements, the plaques, the accolades. It never ends.
Wow! Look at that enthusiasm! This is front-page material.
Ann promises to bring in the Lucite Award that's on her desk one day. All right. John.
Sorry, yeah. John, yeah.
Yeah, Anderson wants me to yell about meter maids, but I'll do it. I'll do it sometime during this break.
All in good time.
That's right. John, you're 16, so you have the milky colored semen.
Clear.
Actually, it's clear, and my friends say that it's like milky and stuff.
Oh, I see. All right. I'm sorry.
Now, I bet, Adam, yours hasn't been milky in some time.
No, it's mine has the it's got a little honey. It tastes like honey.
Where is the vomit sound effect, please?
I don't know. It's always, I always have the light off, just the light of the television, Drew. So
the point is, you keep that plumbing so maintained.
Yeah. Well, okay. Put it this way. You know when you haven't turned a faucet on in the house in a while. Maybe you go to some cabin somewhere and you turn it and it comes out a little brown for a couple of minutes and then it clears up. I blow the brown out twice a day. Thank you.
And so there's no more brown.
Thank you.
There
you go.
That's what John's deal is. He's more active than his friends, I suspect.
Are you, John?
No, not too much.
How often do you masturbate?
Twice a day.
There you go.
Twice a day?
Yeah.
That's more than your friends do. That's all.
Okay, Drew,
that's all I'm saying.
What is the color in semen?
It can be whitish. It can be clear. It's all normal.
I know, but what comprises it? What makes it up? What gives it its color?
Well, it's all these mucopolysaccharides that are in there. These long molecules that make up mucus, basically.
And why does doing it a couple times a day keep the color away?
Don't know. I don't know that. But I know that it does.
You do know that.
It changes the consistency, yeah. It makes it thinner.
Oh, yes. All right. Where are we going now, Drew?
We're going here.
Michael?
Oh, he was asleep before. Is he awake yet?
Michael at 15? Let's see. No?
No, he's still with us. Okay, Jamie at 14. Or Jerry, rather.
Jerry.
What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Loveland's been off the air in Boston for a little bit, but... The last time I heard you guys, you're talking about the peeing in the sink thing. So I just want to say I too am a sink peer.
When was the last time you heard? Where are you now?
I'm still in Boston.
Oh, we're on the air in Boston now?
Yeah.
Oh, we're off for a little while and then we're on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
whatever.
And how long were we off the air?
Oh, I don't know. It was partly I wasn't paying attention. You switched radio station.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yes, you pee in the sink.
Yes, I pee in the sink. But I've also got a problem. After I masturbate, I have this terrible, terrible headache afterwards for about 4 or 5 minutes. It goes away, but it's just...
Yeah, I usually tell people to get that evaluated because while it can be a migraine-type phenomenon, it could be an indication of something more serious. So I do think that should be evaluated.
Okay.
Drew, you ever pee in the sink?
Never.
It's good times. It really is.
Really?
Yeah, I really enjoy that. And now that I have my own sink to pee in, I couldn't be happier. I really enjoy that.
What is this that's so antisocial, or is it that the height's just right so you don't have to...
Well,
what is it?
I'm 6'2", and so it's just about right, sink height, and it makes me feel good. And I know if I was a man of less stature, I couldn't do it, so it makes me feel good about myself.
But if you had less height but more stature...
Oh,
it's such a big deal.
You mean I could just use my Johnson and sort of gooseneck it up into the sink?
Yeah, right.
Nice. Nice dig. Karen?
Yes.
You're 29. What's up?
I am. I have engaged in a relationship with a 28-year-old virgin who is not a virgin any longer. But
how old was he?
28.
28, yeah.
So I was his first. So I guess I went into it with the expectation that he would have no control.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it's been like 6 or 7 times, and he can't complete.
He can't complete. Well, see, here's the thing. When you're a 28-year-old virgin, you have problems. Now, whether that's going to be not being able to control yourself and having an orgasm too quick or not being able to have one at all, they all fall under the heading of problem. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
And you would assume it'd be the other, the former, sure. but it could be any problem. I mean, do you agree with that, Drew?
Absolutely. I mean, it means something. And he's got some energy about his sexuality, and therefore that often translates into problems in the sack.
Why was he, when you say the sack, you mean the bed, not the scrotum,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And why was he a virgin to 28?
I think he was just shy.
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
If he's that shy, that he's pathologically shy that he can't socialize, that's a problem. Why was he having that problem?
No, he's social. He just says he'd never... you got me. I don't know.
Well, what's wrong with him, in your estimation?
Wrong is physical or wrong is him in general?
In general.
Well, he still lives at home.
Okay. That's something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it might be a cultural thing, too. He's a different culture than I am, so I think it's more acceptable for him to be living at home still.
What is he?
Some Asian descent.
You don't know which one, though, right?
No, he's Vietnamese.
I see. Well, they've had very tight families over there. You know, Tom Vu is Vietnamese.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't see the picture.
He speaks about his family all the time, right?
Yeah, that's me, my 14 brother. We come over here. We come over here on egg carton. That picture of me cleaning my big pile of dishes. Now this me. Look at me. Look at my white bitches. See that scarab boat? That's my toy. You see that Ferrari? That's my toy. You see the Tinker toys over there? That's my kids' toys. All right. I have huge breasts, and I'm skinny. I'm not fat. Yeah, my Tom Vu and my Minka don't really vary too much. It's just the inflection, you know? All right, so he's Vietnamese. He's still living at home, and he must work.
He works?
Yes. And what's he do?
Like a engineering assistant or something.
Okay. Shocking. And is he gonna move out of the house soon?
No immediate plans as far as I can tell.
And what's your deal? You're white, you're not Vietnamese?
Right.
You were divorced recently?
No, never been married.
Never been married.
Nope.
And what do you see in him?
I don't know. We started as friends, and it just kind of progressed into something a little bit more. And then I figured, you know, he would fall head over heels and be, I don't know, hard to beat off with a stick. And
yeah.
It's not.
Well, he is hard to beat off. You do got that part right.
That's very true.
What, does he have a weird name like Twang or something?
No.
Come on, what's his weird name? Does he have one of those weird Vietnamese names?
It's not that weird.
No, it's not Twang?
No, it's not Twang.
Okay. It's not Tron? Is the name like Tron?
It doesn't even start with a T.
It's not one of the Star Trek Vietnamese names?
It's Nguyen. Nguyen.
Nguyen? All right. All right, so listen, Karen, he's a little nervous. He's a late bloomer. Does he like oral sex?
Yeah, he likes everything. He's actually good at doing everything.
He is.
He's a little awkward on certain positions.
He probably read 15 books on oral sex. Oh, he's
no,
good at it.
I mean, he probably has a library of pornos, I guarantee you, but I don't know.
All right. Well,
we don't, yeah.
I bet you guys will work it out.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, it's getting a little frustrating. It's like, you know.
Well, why do you need him to orgasm? Why is that? Why is it so important to you?
Ooh, it's an interesting question.
It makes me feel like I'm, I don't know.
I think women have a thing about that. You know
yeah,
I mean?
They do. You want to know why? Let me tell you why, Drew.
Why?
You've talked about this many a time. For men, sex is sex. We like sex. We want to get off on it. There's not a whole bunch of things tied to it. We really enjoy sex.
And it's visual, too.
And it's visual. For women, oftentimes, sex is a means of power, manipulation, or it just... I don't want to make it all negative. What I'm saying is, for women, sex means something, not just a physical act. So if it means something... And it's a way of asserting some power or whatever it means to you as a female, and your partner's not having an orgasm, it really detracts from it.
So let me put something in a little different context, but similar to what you're saying, is that estrogen causes a propensity or a readiness for receptivity. And really, if receptivity is part of the arousal of sexuality, isn't the ultimate receiving is something from the male? You know what I'm saying?
You mean big rusty load?
Yeah. And if you don't receive that part, you know, so you expect to receive the whole experience, if you're sort of cut off from that,
right?
You get on an emotional level. It's not a rational thing that maybe it means something.
Yeah, but you're almost talking more of a biology, and I do agree with you to some extent, but I also think emotionally, if a man has sex and he has an orgasm, he's happy.
He's done.
And if he tried like hell to give his woman an orgasm, but it just wasn't happening for her, he still had his orgasm, and he can go to work the next day with a smile on his face.
Right, right.
For a woman, sex is more than a physical exchange. It means something emotionally, and if she's not... think of it this way. Karen sounded like someone who needed a little power over a guy.
Mm.
Okay, blah, 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 blah. Listen to me. She's 29. She's single. She's dating this guy as a virgin who's still living at home. She wants to be in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Okay? And if he ain't having an orgasm, she can't fully be in the driver's seat.
Yeah, she's
can't
not
she?
There. No. Yeah.
No, but what are you in control of?
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a bucket of jizz. But you got that bucket of jizz, you're in charge. Right? I mean, it's like my grandfather used to tell me. He who holds the bucket of jizz makes the rules. It was a Hungarian adage, but it doesn't translate.
Yeah, I lost something.
I lost a little something in translation, but you know what I mean.
Maybe it's not actually a bucket.
Yeah, I think pail of jizz, they called it. Hey, Karen?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be in control of a guy, don't you?
Okay, that pisses me off that you analyze me to that extent.
Oh, but you see, she's angry, Drew. I told you. She's got to be in control.
Okay, regardless of my fault, I'm just curious.
These aren't faults, by the way.
No. But do you feel like you need to be sort of in control?
I think that's a common theme in my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
In your life, yes.
In lots of people's lives.
There's two ways that people enter relationships. Or a couple of ways, but here's two basic ones. One is, you'll find these people, I have male friends who do this, they date women who are beneath them. I hate to be blunt and crude about it, but what I mean is, you ever see these guys, they're good looking, they got a nice build, they drive a nice car, and they're dating a dumpy chick, and you say, why are you dating this dumpy chick, and then their next girlfriend's dumpy, and the next one's dumpy, and the reality is they'll never get dumped by the dumpy chick, ironically. They are always in control. They'll call the shots, and when it comes time to end the relationship, they'll end the relationship. Hmm. Do you feel like you want that control, Karen?
No. He's very atypical. I've never, ever, ever dated anyone like him.
Have you been dumped in the past?
Oh, sure. But I've done my share of dumping, too.
All right.
I'm pretty even keeled on that. So.
All right. We're not worried about you, Karen. We really aren't.
You guys just work it out. It'll come. Pardon me.
Well, do you have any tips or suggestions on what to try?
Oh, there you go.
Does he like kimchi? Is that Korean? I got my government. What's something the Vietnamese eat?
Dog.
Listen, okay. Karen. Listen, just you guys, just maybe give him a glass of wine or something, try to mellow him out a little bit.
Maybe he's one of these guys into sort of alternative practices.
Yeah, why don't you slip in one of his movies? Why don't you put in one? Huh?
We've done that. We've kind of watched a little bit.
Yeah, and he
gets excited. It's not about not being excited.
Why don't you see if you can get him to finish himself off while you're in the room?
That's already been done.
And he can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. I'm closing my eyes. I picture a little Vietnamese guy going at it, million miles an hour.
He's 6'2".
Ooh. But still, his hand moves faster like a white guy's hand would move, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty quick.
But why can't you? Can you try to reproduce what you see him doing for himself?
I can't. You know what I think it is? No, I can't. I haven't been able to do that to him.
What do you think it is?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. The guy's 28. He's been at himself for 20 years.
Exactly.
You can't touch that.
Right. I mean, how am I going to compete with that? I don't know how to, I feel like I'm on display every time I go down and touch it.
All right. Well, listen, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine living in the apartment underneath these two screwballs? You just take it slow. But, Drew, let me say this, too. As a guy, it's important. As a guy, you start having at yourself around 14, 15, right?
Mm, right.
And what God will do is he'll send a woman or a vagina for you to have sex with. It's somewhere around 16 or 17. Now, if that intervention...
God dispatches one?
God will dispatch a vagina for you to have sex with.
They're released from somewhere.
Within a big hopper filled with vaginas. Now, if one of those is not dispatched to your penis in the first couple of years, and you get 15 years of masturbation under your belt, you'll find a vagina and you won't know what to do with it. And that's what's happened to our young friend, Quan. All right. Where are we going now, Drew?
We're going to Justin.
Justin, 18. You're 18. What's going on?
Hey, I'm having kind of some sexual problems with my girlfriend, and it's not the first time it's happened. And it's basically the major problem is I've got a really large genitalia, and I just want to know, when it usually stops growing.
What are you measuring in it?
No, don't even gratify him with that. Why do you?
Know.
Then you're going to give him a bunch of grief for calling about it.
I will not. How dare you?
Oh, it's 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever.
10. That is huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was, cool for a while, but now it's
sure.
My girlfriend's, she's she won't take it.
Now, does everyone at school know about your big Johnson?
They do now.
Well, I guess I do now, yeah.
His work gets around a little bit?
Yeah, well, Justin's not my real name. Anyway.
Is your girlfriend there?
Yeah, but I mean, when I was in high school, we knew the guys with the big dorks. Oh,
they were the dorks.
Well, I guess,
right?
Yeah, my buddy Zeb had a huge one.
I guess a couple girls.
He was really...
He was a Jewish dork?
He wasn't Jewish. He was just a geek. Yeah, but he had a big schlong. It was great.
I'm a big boy.
God has a way of sort of evening things out. All right, so, Justin, you can't stop it from growing, right?
Well, how long does it grow for?
Well, listen,
21.
But hold on a second. Between 18 and 21, you'll be lucky to get, or unlucky to get another, 3/16 of an inch out of it.
Yeah. It's not random, that'd be a big deal, but for you, proportionally, won't make any
difference.
That's
1/3 of my penis. Yeah, so, you'll never know, right?
So it's pretty much done?
It should be done, yes.
Okay.
And what about, Adriel? What about penises and feet? Because, you know, a lot of guys' foot stop growing in, like, the 11th grade or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, where do your feet stop earlier than your peckerwood?
Yeah, I would say yes.
They do.
Beg your pardon?
Peckerwood? We allowed to use that term? Anderson says yes. All right, let's hop on another call here.
Who do you want to talk to? Let's see if Michael's up yet.
No, he's not.
Michael? You're right.
Yeah, he's still sleeping. Jesus Christ. Mike?
Hello?
You're 19. What's going on?
Well, I did something which I never really do that much. I kind of like to study my college and keep that all going for my career. And my friends on Sunday night had me go to this party with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really, really drunk and blacked out. And they said, while I blacked out, I smoked marijuana, which I didn't ever want to smoke.
Yes.
And, I blacked out. I can't remember anything. That's my first question, is if I will remember anything.
No.
That's why
it's a blackout.
My eyes, ever since Sunday, have been completely red. And, I don't know why.
Were you heaving?
They said I threw up a lot.
All right, well, that's probably why.
Or maybe, you know, you get allergic conjunctivitis or something, or maybe you scratch your corneas when you were sleeping with your eyes open.
Could be some of the semen that may have gotten in there when your buddy's all whacked off on you. It's quite possible. It happened to me once.
That's the usual cause.
Possible.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little hick town, so...
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah,
that kind of thing never happens in places like that.
You pass out with your buddies, and that's it, dead meat. That's what I love. You know, with women, a woman passes out, they call the paramedics, right? Get her some water. You know, it's great. It's like, you're with a bunch of chicks, and the chicks are all partying, and one of the chicks has too much to drink, and blacks out, or just passes out, just starts heaving and passes out. And it's like, get some aspirin, make some coffee, get her some water. Now, when a guy passes out, what is it? Get the duct tape and the marks alive. We're going to town on this MFR. I cannot tell you what I've done to my friends and what has been done to me after passing out, but it's like you're fair game. Fair game.
Come on.
Well, listen, everybody I know has drawn the huge penis on the back or the front of the person. You know, you get the indelible marker, and you start in on them. I mean, they are a blank canvas when they pass out, and you're a Picasso. You just sit there, you know, you hold your thumb out. Whatever happened to that thing?
Hey, there you go.
What happened to artists holding their thumb out? You take your arm, and you lock it out in front of you, and you put your one thumb up like you're hitchhiking, and you put it right
in
front of you.
Close one eye.
And you close one eye, and you go,
And you stick your tongue out the side of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you had like a mustache, you would try to move it a little bit by wiggling your upper lip. Oh, yes, perfect. And then you grab the marks a lot, and he's starting with the goatee and the mustache, and then the big eyebrows, and then the big keloid pirate scar down the cheek, and then eventually gets to the I'm gay written on the back, and the huge penis, and you know, we duct tape a guy. Oh, listen, forget about our friend, guys we didn't know. We duct tape a guy to a chair at a party and just put a bunch of cigarette butts in his mouth. And the guy could have been dead the guy could have died 3 hours earlier. We wouldn't have known. We just duct tape him to the chair. But I'm trying to think. One time my buddy Chris passed out along the Tijuana border in a full sprint, by the way. He was running full speed and passed out. You know, if you go across the Tijuana border, there's an overway. There's like a passway that goes over the highway. We were playing Rat Patrol, I think, while we were running back to our car on the San Diego side, and he just passed out. And
while he was running?
Yeah, passed out while he was running.
It's like a cartoon where he was like mid-stride and just keeled over.
Yeah, this was Chris. This was Chris. So we all turned around and looked, and he was just face down on the concrete, you know. So we walked over there, and we said, hey, get up. Get up. And he wouldn't move. And so I think Snake kicked him in the nuts, and it was like he didn't react. So it was like, oh, man, he's passed out. All right. So we got him onto my back somehow, and the guy's 210 pounds, and I sort of dragged him back to the car, and we stuffed him in the back of the car.
Did you think maybe something was wrong with him? Maybe he was dead? Or?
Yeah, he seemed like he was breathing and stuff. And we threw him in the back of the car. And
all your training by that point.
Yeah, we started to go back to the hotel in San Diego, where we had five guys staying in one small room in San Diego. And he woke up when he was in the back of the car, though. And you know what he said? I'll never forget this. There was this Uncle Ben's converted rice commercial that was running at the time that took place on a riverboat. And he woke up in the back of this Toyota Celica, and he was completely passed out, to the point where we were kicking him and stuffed him into the back of a two-door car, and he still never moved or never woke up. And all of a sudden, out of the back of the car, we hear him go, Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice! So Chris was he was awake again, but then he passed out again right before we got to the hotel, and I had to carry him up the stairs. And the point is, this will just illustrate how guys are. I threw him on my shoulder, I carried him up a flight of stairs, and I threw him onto this bed. There was two single beds in this hotel room, and they're both high off the ground, like 3 feet off the ground. By the bed and into that little gutter between the side of the bed and the wall. And he was like sleeping on his arm. Like he would have had to cut the thing off in the morning because it wasn't circulating. I was like, I thought Chris was on the bed. Oh, what's he going to know? So he was just like on his belly, like he got dropped from a building and wedged in his bed.
God.
Yeah, but then a couple hours he woke up again and another fight started. But that's how guys treat guys who pass out. And that was considered a loving act, by the way. It's not like we left him on the border. We actually picked him up and dragged him back to San Diego.
Right, you're very, very caring, very thoughtful.
Thank you. All right, that's why I'm his brother, man. We got to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, who are we going to talk to, Drew?
Let's talk to Steve, who's 19, has a rash on the inside of his thighs.
No, that's no good.
Well, look at the other ones. Michael's asleep, 9 week pregnant with a heartbeat, once in a while you can hear the baby's heartbeat. We just talked to Mike about his alcohol blackout, and then a 15-year-old whose ex-girlfriend is completely obsessed.
I'd rather talk to him.
All right, Tyler, 15.
All right, and my meter maid ran. That's right, after this. He is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Drewski, ready to get back to it?
Yeah, I thought you were going on a rant, though.
I've lost a little of my thunder, but all right, I'll get fired up for a second. Basically, it has to do with meter maids, but it's the entire sort of policing and transportation that goes on. And this is mostly Los Angeles. I can't compare other cities to Los Angeles. But I know in Los Angeles the deal is there's no such thing as public transportation. So they got you by the huevos. And basically what they do, because they have you in a stranglehold, and they know there's no other way you can get around, but by automobile, they ring you for every effing nickel you're worth in this city. And I don't mind meter maids doing a job. There's a job to do. Sure, if there's a car that's blocking traffic, it needs to be towed. And if some guy decides to leave his car for 3 days and something that's earmarked for 1 hour, he deserves a ticket. But it goes past that and starts borders on harassment many times. I've gotten tickets and yelled to move my car when I parked in a thing that said no parking 10 to noon for street cleaning, and I was there at 11:30 after the street cleaner went by and had the guy write me a ticket. That is sheer harassment. And here's all I'm saying. Why do we not have a shortage of meter maids? You know, they're always talking about a shortage of cops. Whenever we talk about police work in this city, it's always, we don't have enough manpower, there's not enough guys on the street. Where's the goddamn shortage of meter maids?
These are the guys that create revenue, though.
Yeah, you know why there's no shortage of them? Because you pay them $40,000 a year and they bring in $4 million a year. They've got new cars, and they got a new ride and a new chalk stick every year, and they're just going around making money for the city. And my only point is you know, Drew, remember when I had my car destroyed by a drunk driver as it was
right.
parked out front of my house?
Yes.
About 5 years ago?
Yes.
You know, and I contact the city from time to time. You know what their answer to me is? There's nothing we can do, and we don't have any way of keeping any record of whether we received the money. You know, I went to court with this SOB, and he's supposed to pay the court. And when I talk to the court, what do they say? We don't have any way of keeping track whether he's paid or not. Really, you don't have a way of keeping track, huh? Why is it you can keep track of me? Why is it you know every time my registration's expired, I get a ticket that hasn't been paid, I get a parking ticket that's not been dealt with? Why does the guy have access to that in his goddamn car when he pulls me over, but I can't go down to City Hall and get access to the guys paying me? You want to know why? Because they owe me money. I don't owe them money. This is nothing. This has turned into a huge... They're like the March of Effing Dimes, the people in this... the people have to do with parking enforcement and traffic in this city, and it drives me insane. And you know who they're milking, Drew? They're milking the people that are paying their salaries. They're not milking the criminal element. They're milking the taxpayers. And it makes me sick. I suggest a revolution. And I would say that these meter maids deserve as much crap as you can possibly deal out to them. Because, after all, they were the pussies who chose this weak, weak profession. They chose to take the easy way out. They chose to make an easy buck, and they deserve as much crap as they can get. And by the way, this thing about them already starting to write the ticket, next time they do that, tell them just to write void on the ticket, because they can do that. This is a huge business, and furthermore, it's past a business. It is now a racket with these guys, and it drives me insane. And I wish that we would, if we're going to have this huge force out on the streets, and when I say on the streets, I don't mean when it's light outside. I mean day and night. I mean the weekends and the wee hours of the morning. I see these SOBs driving down the hill at 2 in the morning after driving up the hill and giving everyone a ticket. Let's at least give these guys a gun and a badge and put them to work. Not enough cops. Not enough cops, my ass. Why are you guys sitting around waiting by stop signs to give people tickets? Not enough for what? Pussies, get to work. And you know what you do? You do what we tell you to do, not what you feel like doing. You want more money? Good. We'll pay you a little more money and you can have your money. But don't ring society trying to get a couple extra bucks for yourself. Drives me insane. All these parking tickets. You know something? We should be ashamed of ourselves out here in Los Angeles. New York, they got real cops. They stand around and do nothing. Real cops. They watch people jaywalk. You know how many tickets they write in New York for jaywalking each year? It's like 5. And here they write like 500,000. And there's a new arrow on every corner, so we can all sit there at an arrow and one more opportunity to get a ticket. This town's turned into one big moving violation. You guys stop crime and stop worrying about people that are driving so much. What's that, Drew? Go ahead.
Your friends from Culver PD are probably going to stop by tonight, I suspect.
I got nothing against cops who are out stopping crime. And I know it's their superiors and the politicians that are ultimately behind this. But here's what I want our police force doing. Stopping crime. Not writing tickets. Please, how dare all of you, and especially this ticky-tack BS, where you didn't come to a complete stop on a red when there's no traffic as far as the eye could see. What danger are you in that point? You're raising money. I got a ticket in Burbank for jaywalking when I was inside the lines. Wrote me a ticket over there because the light had been flashing when I stepped off the curb. How dare you? Burbank's the worst place in the United States for this. Bunch of cowards over there on a big fundraising tour. Whatever happened to the policeman's ball? Remember the policeman's ball? That's how you guys raise money. You sell raffle tickets. You don't harass the public.
Didn't you have to appear in court with that one?
Yes, I had to.
Didn't you have to apologize for the judge after going off about him?
No, I did not. I had...
What was you said about him? Okay. Shooting heroin and you... What was that?
Okay, let me...
What was you said about him?
What are you talking about?
The judge.
I did not apologize to those.
Well, how did you describe the judge?
I have. I cannot remember how I described the judge when I got a ticket in that dump known as Burbank for jaywalking. But let me tell you this: I had to take 2 days off work. Thank God I don't work. But if I had worked, I would have taken 2 days off work to go fight a ticket. Here's my point. I want to sue Burbank. Where's my money? Where's my 2 days? What about my time? Candy asses. Where's my compensation? What's the deal? I win the ticket, I don't pay. You know what I mean? What kind of victory is that? It's like someone betting with you. Here's the deal. I'll make you a bet. Hey, the Rams are playing this weekend. I'll bet you. Rams win, you pay me $100. Rams lose, you get nothing. Wow, you really made out like a bandit, didn't you? What about me? Where's my compensation? I was written an erroneous ticket for doing nothing. And I have to spend 2 afternoons going down to the court to fight it. And I win. What do I win? Nothing. Where's my compensation? Get to work! Stop crime! Don't stand around and bust people for crossing the street. How dare you? Meter maids. Kiss my ass. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Stop crime. Do you understand? Don't save people from themselves. Stop crime.
Here we go. Tyler is 15.
Hey, Adam, I feel you, man. I feel you, Adam.
Yes.
How's it going?
Yeah, you know what your job is? You know, all meter maids, cops, all of you. It's to protect people, not get money from them. Do you understand? I know you guys see sacks of nickels walking down the street. I prefer you see citizens walking down the street, not ATMs.
Tyler.
Have a ball. Have a policeman's ball and sell tickets. Do not rape the public for money. That is not your job. Your job is to protect, not rape. Jesus Christ, and especially Burbank. I don't give a rat's ass who hears me over there. You know it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tyler.
Settle down.
Dump. All right.
I have this ex-girlfriend for about 6 months, and she hasn't gone over me yet. And her friends are like, I'm pretty close to her friends. I know them pretty good.
And hasn't gone over you?
Gotten over her.
Oh, okay. All right.
How long were you going out with her?
I was for like 6 months, and then we've been broken up for 6 months now.
How was the relationship?
It was pretty good. Well, she cheated on me during the relationship.
Oh, interesting.
All right, so you broke up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what?
And now it's like she like still is like fixated on me. Her friends say that it's like annoying them. Like,
well, you know what? You're gonna get fixated on someone for about 3 or 4 years, like every unfortunate young male does.
She like won't talk to me.
Yeah, she like, knows it won't work.
She's like,
want to get back together?
Huh? No, I don't. She knows that. She knows that.
Well, that's why she doesn't talk to you. It's hard for people your age sometimes to let go of things like this. And even as Adam will tell you, young males often spin webs about relationships that never even happened.
Oh, yeah. Like when I was dating Adrian Barbeau in the 70s.
He doesn't know what you mean, even.
I know.
What?
You don't know Maude? Swamp Thing? How dare you? All right. Wait a minute. I'm unclear here. Is she obsessed with you, or are you obsessed with her?
She's obsessed with me.
She with him.
But she's not talking to you.
No. And she's like
she knows better.
Okay. Listen. She's obsessed with him, but she's not talking to him.
Right. That's okay. No big deal.
So who cares?
You're right. Exactly.
I mean, maybe there's people obsessed with you, Drew. But if they don't talk to you, you don't know it, do you?
No.
You're fine then, right?
I'm fine.
Thank you, Steve.
What the hell is that?
God.
Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on. We got to take a break, Steve. All right?
All right.
I got all sweaty on my rant. And let me just clarify this, because I don't want to be pulled out of my car and beaten on the ride home tonight. The cop on the street, I got no problem with him. These guys are commendable. And as a matter of fact, the notion that the cop gets paid as much as the bus driver who's on strike now, or the garbage man, or one of these other idiots who does nothing for a living, I find bizarre almost that someone's getting shot at and getting paid the same amount as a guy who's driving a bunch of old people around. But that's up to them and their union. I have a problem with what these guys are assigned to do, and I know they hate it too. As a cop, growing up watching Starsky and Hutch and Beretta and all those good shows, and there you are sitting around Burbank waiting to bust some guy who's crossing heading over to the mall. You know what I mean? The chicken-ass detail. That's got to be bothering. That's got to be bothersome. And I'm asking that we get these guys off that detail. I'm not asking that they break rank and do what they want to do. I understand they're put on that detail. I want to get them off that detail. What do you think that would take, Drew? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where's our say in this? Can't we tell the cops what we want them to do?
Not yet.
Why do they get to do what they want to do? Who's paying for them? All right. Drew, you have very strong opinions about this, I can tell. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Yep, it is Loveline. Dr. Drew over there, Live 105 in the Bay Area. Drew?
Yep.
What are you doing over there?
Doing a board review. You know, you always say I'm an addiction medicine specialist?
Yep.
It's actually been 10 years since my last board certification, so I need to retake them.
Yeah. Board is the operative word
that's
when it comes
me.
To you, baby.
Oh, yeah, man.
Why do you gotta go to San Francisco to do that?
Because that's where they give the review course.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's nothing in Los Angeles?
No, the only other one was in Chicago, which I was going to go to, but I decided to come up here instead.
Why does that sound so bizarre to me?
Well, how many addiction medicine specialists are there? That, you know, you have to pick a place.
I can name
it. We got to go to them.
Half dozen off the top of my head just in the San Fernando Valley. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know how. I mean, is it that exclusive a club? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's many colleges out here. There's no recertification for addiction medicine?
No.
Addiction medicine? No?
No. It's the California Society of Addiction Medicine, which is up here.
All right.
And the American Society of Addiction Medicine gave the other one there in Chicago.
So what do you got to do? Are you a little nervous? I bet you're doing some studying, aren't you, buddy?
Yep.
You love it, too. You
I love to study. I do.
You are such a geek. You get turned on. You get a little blood, a little extra blood in the penis. And Drew loves an assignment, too. He loves it when people come. You know, he loves it when Ann comes in here and goes, you guys got some liners to cut. Drew's like, things can perk up a little. Okay, got to do it. Got something to do. Got a deadline to me. What's that got to be done? It's got to be done tonight? Okay, something to do.
And just because I'm into it, you're that much more not into it.
Anything but be alone with my thoughts, man.
Or my partner.
How dare you? How dare you? All right. What's that, Anderson?
When it was Danielle's birthday, we had a little cake for her in there.
Mm-hmm.
Every single break, he's like, well, are we going to do the cake right now? Or wait till next break. We should do it right now.
Oh, I know. Drew will drive you insane. Ann will come in here with these liners. And basically what those are is, you know, we do a little thing for the affiliate. I'm Adam Carolla, and that is Dr. Drew, and you're listening to Live 105 in San Francisco. Okay, it usually takes between 2 and 2.5 minutes to cut these things, right, Drew? Be honest.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If Ann brings it in at 10:05, you're going nuts if we're not doing it by 10:25, right?
Right.
And I'm like, we got 10 more breaks to do this, and we'll do it. We'll get to it when we get to it, but you love something to do. So how long are these boards going to take you to do?
Well, they're like in November sometime.
What are you doing now, then?
Not doing the board review course so I can keep studying the material.
You had to go over there to do that? They could have sent you the material?
No, it's a lecture series.
Oh, how dare they. I'll give the lectures.
Oh, God. Okay. I was just thinking, we get assignments, you immediately pull out the bong.
I don't like studying. I think it's for the weak. See, I'd rather hang around people who already know stuff.
Chad?
People have to read about it from the man. Chad, you're 19. What's up?
Yeah.
Whoop, let's get to that.
Retard. Steve? Oh, Steve's the one who has the rash on his thigh, right?
Yeah.
We're
going
to talk to. What's up there, Steve?
Well, it's been there for like a year, and it started out really small, but then it kind of expanded.
It's a red patch?
Yeah, on both sides of my...
That's jock itch, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so sometimes it's hard to clear up. Let's say so. You try some Lotrizone or over the counter now you can get Lamisil. That should be helpful. And then sometimes you have to take actually a pill to clear it up completely.
You got
to
keep You got to keep it dry down there.
Yep, all
so
the
like
time.
Baby powder and everything down there.
No.
Yeah.
Dry. Like take a hair dryer out and like dry it, bone dry.
I rented that last week. And what are you supposed to do though? You're out all day. You bring a hair dryer with you, plug it into your cigarette lighter.
I mean, do the best you can to keep it dry. That's all.
Well, what's wrong with some talc powder down there?
It could irritate the skin still.
And he should be wearing boxers, not briefs, right?
Yeah.
All right, loose-fitting clothes, not those
that's true, for
tight
sure.
designer jeans Drew likes to wear. Mm-hmm. Andrea?
Yes?
You're 19. What's up?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, for so long, like, well, not long, but when I was with my boyfriend, we would have sex, and I would never have an orgasm. And then one time when we were having sex, I touched my clitoris, and I had an orgasm. And now the only way, I mean, that's the only way I can have one. And I was wondering, is this normal, or
yes.
can I actually have one without having to touch it?
Mm.
I mean,
hey, Andrea, how lazy are you exactly? You can't reach down and touch your clitoris?
I'm sorry, what?
What's wrong? I'm just saying, how lazy are you?
No.
I mean, you know, how many calories does it take for you to reach down and press your button a little bit?
Oh, my God.
I mean, so just it works for you. Fine. Listen, I wish I could.
You're way ahead of
I wish
curve.
I could jack off using telepathy. But what are you going to do? I got to burn 5 or 6 calories. And I used to be more than that, but now it's just it's up, down, and then halfway up, and I'm done. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Proud of you.
Oh, yeah.
You've mastered it.
Yeah. I got my own boards to study for down here in the Southland. All right. Let's take a little break. What do you say?
All right.
Wait a minute. I just want to talk to China real fast, or Sienna, or whatever the hell her name is. Sienna?
Yeah?
You're bisexual, and you want to know how to tell your parents?
Yeah.
Don't tell them. I know you're angry at them, but don't tell them. Just give them a little time.
The 15-year-old that wants to announce this to their
yes.
parents has got some other agenda going on.
They'll be more upset later in life when you tell them, all right?
Okay.
Let a little interest build up and then drop the bomb. What's your is your dad abusive? Drink? Is he abusive or is he a born-again Christian?
He doesn't really drink. Well, yeah, he drinks, but not like get drunk and like...
Yeah, but he's a bad guy?
I don't really like him.
Okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Payback time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Kinda. All right. Don't tell them. Let them catch you with a woman. That's more effective.
Oh, my God.
All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be back.
All right.
W-E-B-M. Maybe this week of Loveline.
Hallelujah.
Drew, when are you coming back from Frisco?
Saturday.
All right.
So I'll be there Sunday.
Is your lovely wife with you?
She is.
Oh, good times.
It is good times.
Good times. And what about the kids?
They're not with us.
Oh.
They're at an age where they freak out a little bit when we leave.
Oh, yeah. So. And it's too bad because you have them with you. They can kind of run interference between you and the old lady. A little buffer, a little distraction.
I'm looking forward to spending time with her.
Okay.
Ow!
All right. That's your business. I'm not going to tell you what to do. All right, we'll take ourselves an extended break. Oh, and it's well-deserved, too. And we'll be back next week with another fantabulous show. So until next time, Sam Crowley for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
She should have her hands cut off.